What is your new normal? What is day like, day-to-day life like for Claude Julien these days?
Well, as you all know, it's very different than what we're used to, and being creatures of habit, it's certainly not an easy task. But when the season was called off or postponed, I should say, my family was on the March break, and they were on a Disney cruise. They ended up returning, I guess, 2 days after we had postponed the season. So we ended up moving to our summer home here in Ontario between Ottawa and Kingston. And we've been here for the last 3 weeks. The kids are still in school and are doing online schooling. So there's a lot of times with the younger ones, we end up having to help them out with some homework and keeping us busy that way. But nonetheless, there's always something to do around here, and I'm keeping busy with, obviously, still doing a little bit of video, trying to stay on top of things. And we have had some discussions between coaches. We've had some of those calls or conference calls, and we've been able to chit-chat about all kinds of different things we don't get a chance to chat about.
Berkey?
Hey, Claude, it's Berkey. Thanks for joining us. We've been asking all the coaches who come on board to tell us about their path to the NHL. But I want to remember, you go back to when I first met you in Fredericton. You remember that?
I certainly do. Those are actually funny times too, Berkey, because obviously you were working with the Vancouver Canucks player development, I think, at the time, right? And I was still a player in Vancouver and Quebec Nordiques. We used to share a team, and you'd come on the ice and skated with us. And I always remember, and I kind of hesitate to say it, but I really find it to be a funny story, is that we'd be skating around the ice and we'd see these dark patches on the ice here and there, and it was Berkey spitting his chew out as he was skating around the ice with us. So. Those are the things that really stuck with me.
Do you remember, though, the first time I tried to get down to the dressing room? The trainer didn't know who I was. He says, "You can't come down here."
Right.
I said, "Well, I'm the vice president of the Vancouver Canucks." And he says, "I don't care. You still can't come down here." Okay, so take us through your coaching career. Claude, where did you start?
Well, I start off, believe it or not, and I keep saying that it was basically by accident, because although I had planned on getting into maybe coaching after my playing career, it kind of went to the wayside. And somehow I got asked to come in and help out with the Ottawa Senators junior team, and that was a Tier 2 Junior A team. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, but I went to watch, and first thing you know, I jumped in, and it didn't take me long, you know, to get bitten by the bug. I really felt comfortable being back into hockey, and felt comfortable working with the kids, et cetera. And that was my first year of coaching, and you know, it was a rebuilding team. I think we had about 16-year-olds on the team, and we ended up finishing in second place and lost to the eventual winners, which was Gloucester, and had Danny Boyle on the team. So that was my first year. Afterwards, I got approached to go with the Hull Olympiques, which are known as the Gatineau Olympiques today, in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And I was there as an assistant coach for the first 2 years. And in the third year, our coach at the time, Bob Mongrain, left and went to Sherbrooke, and Charlie Henry ended up giving me the job as a head coach. And that year, we were hosting the Memorial Cup, and you know, I was lucky enough to win the Memorial Cup with our team. And I think it was probably in August. So we won in May, and in August, I was coaching the Team Canada under 18. We won gold at the tournament, and kind of just, you know, when I look back at that, I often say you got to be at the right place at the right time. That's certainly a criteria, and I was lucky enough to win twice in that year, which really helped, I guess, give me some credibility. And and from there, I stayed on till I think we won in 97, and I stayed on till 2000. And then in 2000, I was approached by Edmonton to coach the Hamilton Bulldogs in the American Hockey League. I did 2.5 years there, and in the middle of the season of 2002-2003, I was asked to coach the Montreal Canadiens, and I finished that season there and was there till I think it was 86, 87. I ended up in New Jersey for a year. Afterwards, as you know, I went to Boston for 10 years, and now I've been in Montreal ever since the 2000, and I'm trying to think here. I think it's 2016, if I'm correct.
So that January 2003, mid-season replacement, there till January 2006. Tell us about coaching the Devils for less than a year.
Well, you know, again, you know, that's probably a bit of a mystery, I guess, and to nobody's fault, again, and I mean that. I was in there for that season, and we actually were having a great season. We were just we were first place. I think we had 100 and, I don't know if it's 101, 103 points and stuff like that. And then we were three games away from the playoffs. So when I got the call from Lou to come see him in his office, I really felt we were going to talk about, you know, how the team kind of did things during the playoffs and those kind of things. But to my surprise, he felt that, you know, a change would be good for the team. And, you know, again, as much as it's, I get it, because it had worked for him before, and maybe the team needed a shock treatment, or he felt it needed a shock treatment. But that was the end of my stay in New Jersey. But, you know, nonetheless, I've been one of the fortunate ones when I was let go by Montreal. It was just before the Olympic break in that year. And so during the Olympic break, I had gotten a call from Lou asking if I wanted to meet him. And so definitely was able to get the job the following year. After I was let go, same thing happened a couple of weeks later. I got a call from Peter Chiarelli asking me to meet him for the job in Boston. So I've been one of the fortunate ones that way, that hasn't had to sit out too long or ponder whether I'd be back in the NHL or not.
But just for everyone listening, this team was 47-24-8, first in the Atlantic Division.
Yep.
Three games left or so in the regular season, and you get fired. It's pretty hard to figure the logic out there.
Well, like I said, you know, and the one thing, you know, I've learned in this sport is you don't take things personally. And, you know, people do things, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, they do things for hopefully the right reasons all the time, whether it works, whether it's logical, or whether it's, you know, it's the right decision. Nonetheless, I move on. And I can tell you, and I'm saying that honestly, I love Lou Lamoriello. He's as great a guy as you'll ever meet in this game. You know, he's hard when it comes to the business side of things, but he's got a heart of gold, you know, when it comes to treating people and players the right way. Does that sound familiar, Berkey?
Yeah, it sounds very familiar. Now, touch on two more things before I let someone else talk here. I'm talking too much. In Boston, Jack Adams in 2009, Stanley Cup in 2011.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. From the time I got there, obviously they hadn't made the playoffs the year before, and Peter gave me the opportunity. And, you know, he had brought in, you know, at the time, Zdeno Chara, who was obviously, you know, in hindsight, you know, Ottawa wishes they wouldn't have made that mistake. But, you know, he brought in a captain who's still a captain to this day. So what a big piece for the Boston Bruins that was brought in to help, I guess, straighten the ship out. So basically, at the end of the day, with Mark Savard, who was scoring a lot at the time, he brought in some players that was definitely going to help turn this team around. We all remember that Patrice Bergeron was a young player at the time. When I came in, he had just turned 20, finished his second year. So there was a lot of good pieces there to create a good team. And we managed to have some decent seasons. And again, in the playoffs, we're falling a little bit short, a little bit like you saw Washington do for a long time. And it was almost one of those where you needed to figure it out. And once the guys figured it out, and we did go through a lot of adversity the year we won in 2011, but it just made us a stronger team. And again, we went back in 2013 against Chicago in the finals and lost in game six of that final. So we had a really good run and really enjoyed the players, the staff I had there. It was a good and a fun 10 years.
You know, there's, as Brian just mentioned, Jack Adams Trophy, Stanley Cup champion coach. Earlier you mentioned with Hall, you win the Memorial Cup there. I still remember Pavel Rosa, junior hockey legend with you guys in Hall. There is one other element of your bio that is particularly historically noteworthy, and that is you were once, now I don't know whether you can clarify this for me, Claude, it was either a trade or it was compensation for a signing. But essentially, Jacques Demers ends up the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, and Quebec gets you and Gord Donnelly. You were traded for a coach, Claude.
Yes, I was. And it is. And I still, to this day, don't know whether it was a trade or compensation. But at the end of the day, I got a call. Like, it's funny because I had had two unbelievable seasons in Salt Lake City in the old Central League where, I put up some decent points. I was an all-star defenseman and had really good years. And I remember at the end of that year, Emil Francis was still the general manager of the St. Louis Blues. And when he met me, he had told me he really felt like I was ready to make the jump and to make sure I came to camp in good shape and I was going to get a good shot at it. So felt really confident, left and went back home. And obviously, Emil Francis ended up going to Hartford, brought my Salt Lake City coach, Jack Evans, with him to Hartford. And then I got a call shortly after from the Prof. Caron, telling me that, he had acquired Jacques Demers and that in exchange I was going to Quebec and that I think the Quebec team had, I think, 48 hours to pick another guy they had put on a list. They had given him a list of players and they were to choose from there. That was my understanding. And So I ended up being Gord Donnelly, who followed up. And so we ended up there with the Quebec Nordiques and where I thought I was going to have a really good opportunity. It was almost like I had to start all over again and prove myself.
Stewie, we're occupying the conversation here. Take it over. Anthony Stewart.
Yes, thanks for tagging me in here. I just wanted to ask quickly, you've coached a lot of tough players, over your coaching career, Sheldon Surrey, Milan Lucic, Sean Thornton. Two-part question here. You coached Peter Worrell your last year in Hull. The first question is, how do you get 495 penalty minutes? And second question, is he the toughest guy you've ever coached?
Well, that's a good question, Anthony, because, like everybody's defined for toughness different ways. As you know, there's some tough guys that'll back away from no one, and they're considered tough. But I know what you mean by your question, and Peter would certainly be up there. Sean Thornton was as tough as they came. He would take on anybody anytime. He would do those kind of things. And, like you said, the Sheldon series of this world, a lot of guys stood up for their teammates. But Peter ended up with all these penalty minutes in junior hockey, but he also played on the top line, and he was such a, 6'6", and nobody came close to him, especially in his last year's junior. And he could stand in front of that net, or he could hang on to that puck. And you can't believe how much this guy improved during his junior career, because when we drafted him, and this is something interesting for people to know, is that he was playing in the Quebec Midget Hockey League, and I think it was Midget 2B, which wasn't even Midget AAA, and he wasn't good enough to play at that level. And our scouts really liked his size, they liked his work ethic, and decided to draft him. When he came to camp, I swear on this, we used to do those drills where, to warm up, you skate around and you blow the whistle, you pick it up and you slow down and all that stuff. When it came time to get the guys to skate backwards in that drill, I couldn't look at them. because I was laughing so hard. The guy could not skate backwards if his life depended on it. Here he is in the major junior A training camp. But once we started the, you know, playing some exhibition games and you saw some of the things that he brought, he would finish his checks. And, you know, he wasn't pretty to watch. But, you know, from year one to year three, he was such a different player. And he's probably one of the players that I think has improved the most that I've ever seen in junior hockey in the time I was there. So not only was he getting better as a player, but he was tough as nails. And as a 17-year-old, I remember him taking on George Larac, who was a 19-year-old at the time, who was at the time called the king of the league, you know. So he stood up to him and did a decent job. Really, you know, I'm not going to say he won, but he certainly didn't get beat up. It was a pretty even fight, although George had a little bit more experience. So that's where I see Peter Worrell, and definitely, you know, a guy who made it to the NHL against all odds.
Being joined by Claude Julien, the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, a couple of thoughts here on your current team, of course, the Habs. I know he only played 22 games with you this season, but can you share with us your thoughts on what Ilya Kovalchuk meant to the Habs in those 22 games?
Well, he meant a lot in those 22 games, just in a time where we really needed some help in scoring because of all the injuries. He came in, and especially at the beginning, was scoring, was doing all the things right. What I liked about Ilya, and again, you know, seeing him from afar when he first came in the league with Atlanta and when he moved on and to Jersey and so on and so forth, you know, I saw a guy who really wanted to produce and really focused a lot on just producing. What I saw from Ilya, and I use that example a lot, is that I think I saw a lot of Mark Recchi, where I ended up getting Mark Recchi in Boston, you know, near the end of his career or playing days, and, you know, really had a focus on what was the most important thing. It wasn't as much as he wanted to score. He really wanted the team to do well. And that's what I saw from Ilya Kovalchuk when he came. He really cared about the team. He really cared about his teammates. He really cared about helping the team. But he would be on the bench, and the fourth-line guy would score a goal for us. He was the guy that was jumping the highest on the bench and so happy for that guy. And, you know, you saw a guy, a veteran player, bringing the right example to everybody else. So on the ice, off the ice, days off, he would be in the gym working out. You know, he was a great example for young players to see and for most of our players to see. A guy at his age doing all the right things and understanding that you can't just rely on your talent, but you have to work hard at it. And I thought he brought that example off the ice and really supported our core group that way, but also on the ice, you know, just his energy, his enthusiasm was something that just spread throughout the team.
That's outstanding. Berkey, go ahead.
Claude, tell us about the big man there, Shea Weber. What's that like coaching him?
Well, Berkey, I know you'd love this guy because he is old school. You know, you talk about how many players are still old school, and you know, well, they, you have to tell him that he can't practice because he wants to practice through an injury because he doesn't want the players to think that he's being coddled or we have favoritism for him. He'll play through anything, and as tough as nails, great leader, you know, basically because he's a good person, but his demeanor, I guess he earns the respect of his teammates just by his demeanor and the way he handles different players at different times. Love this guy. Love what he brings. Again, you know, I think it was pretty obvious when you saw the survey of the players. It's not a lot of fun to play against Shea Weber. And coaches like to hear that when you have him on your team. So that's something that he brings every day. And he was a captain, obviously, in Nashville, a captain in Montreal, and he's an easy choice. When you get to know the guy, he's really an easy choice to become a captain.
I want to close on one player specifically, and that's a great rundown of Shea Weber. What did the coach make of Nick Suzuki this year?
I like Nick a lot because, you know, we said that about him. He's such an intelligent player. He sees the play well. I remember his first camp with us after we got him in that trade, and the one thing we had told him is that really work on the pace of your game, because at this level you're going to need to take another step there. I watched some of his games in junior hockey, and he'd already, you know, understood that. And that's why I thought he had a really, really good season his last year junior. He comes to us, plays the right way, understands the game so well. You know, when you talk about an intelligent player, and he's one of those guys where you tell him once, and you don't have to tell him two or three times. He gets it, you know. So I like that about him. The only thing that happened to Nick this year, and to certainly not to his fault, is that I felt that in the last month, he'd really started the slowing down because of fatigue. And the fatigue wasn't necessarily because of playing with us. You know, obviously the year before, he had played with the World Juniors. He went to the Memorial Cup all the way to the end, was done in May, development camp at the end of June, rookie camp, and then our main camp and everything else. I just think he played too much hockey, and it caught up to him. And that's what I think happened in the last month. It had absolutely nothing to do with his play, had nothing to do with his intelligence. I just think he hit a wall, and rightfully so. I don't know anybody else who wouldn't have hit a wall after playing that much.